gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Christ our Lord. Oh, we have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh yes, worship Him, Christ. And concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. Worship Him, Christ our Lord. Oh yes, we have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Oh, we have come into this house, oh, and gathered in His name to worship Him. About yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, oh, and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, oh, and concentrate on Him, oh, and worship Christ our Lord. Gathered in His name.
God. It's good to be here today, for sure. And lift up the name of the Lord. Glad we've come into this house to magnify His name and to worship Him, because He is a God that is worthy to be praised for all He's done for us, to this great salvation, so rich and so free He's given to us. And how can we help but worship Him? How can we help but praise Him? When all he's done for us is give us good things. Not sometimes they don't always seem like they're good, but they are good for us. Hallelujah. And I was asking the Lord, Lord help me. You know, sometimes I get distracted from with the calling that God's given to me. And that is to make me into the likeness of His dear Son. Sometimes I don't act like it. Sometimes I get forgetful of the things, what He's done, and forgetful of the calling. And that he's calling to me, and I so I have to get, I have to remind myself, and then ask the Lord to remind me that, Lord, you're here to change me. Do this for me. I don't want to act this way. Sometimes I act in a way I shouldn't have. I shouldn't. You know, I get a little gripey, get a little snappy. That's not the fruits of the Spirit. You know, that's a, and I think, oh, God, why am I going through this? Why am I acting this way? The thing I would not that I do, sometimes, as Paul said. But I do have a hope that lies within me, and I know he's changing me if I yield my life to him, to his word. And through the Spirit, he'll mortify those deeds in me that are fleshly. And so I'm... But if I could just praise him, if I could just praise him for what he has done and ask him to touch me one time, get me through these bumps in my life, these negative feelings and these negative attitudes that I have, then, and I not focus on it, but just ask the Lord, Lord, you can take me through, you can get me through this. Hallelujah. And so we're so... we're such a privileged people. Not everybody has a has this privilege to be called of God like this, to have their sins forgiven, and then to have be born of the Spirit of God. And I one time I was up late at night by myself, sometimes when I have insomnia, I'll just see what's on TV or whatever. And there was this motivational speaker. Boy, he was trying to sell some CDs, you know, DVDs, you know. You can change your life, get on a fast track, and get rich, you know. Brother Tyrone, he's seen a bunch of those guys. So I thought, well, I bet I can find some of his speeches on Google Video. And, you know, I got to listen to this guy, and it was just a bunch of baloney. He's just filling people full of a bunch of baloney. Get them all hyped up. Well, they was all shouting like it was a church service or something. And it wasn't nothing that profited nothing. It was just a beating about the air and making people feel good so they'll buy his books and buy his CDs. Well, I'm glad my curiosity was satisfied. I'm like a cat sometimes. Because I thought, you know, we've got something that's real, that's genuine, that we don't just get stirred up in our emotions, but there's a life-changing experience in our life. That we'll submit our lives to the Word of God, that He can make that change in us and perform real miracles. And we'll have a real testimony in which by we are saved. Hallelujah. We're glad to have all of our regular folks here. We have some visitors. And we're glad to have John, Nancy, Mary, and Gerald here today. They're not strangers. They've been here before, but don't come often enough. So we want to make them feel good when they come, so they want to come more. And we do, but we do appreciate them being here. Hallelujah. And Sister Sheila's children, all four of them, all right? Is that right? We are glad they're here. Praise God. We've got some fine young people here. And Brother Johnson's back. He's been gone, and he's going to be gone for a while. This will be our last service with us for some time. He's leaving in the morning and going to Seattle. And I'm running to him the other day at the bank. He's trying to get all of his affairs in order so he can make this trip out there. And I want him to know we're praying for him, and his wife, that the Lord would touch her and heal her through all this. And as he's touched so many people, And so our prayers are with you. We'll continue to pray for y'all on this journey. Is there any prayer requests that we would like to bring? Oh, Brother McGowan, where's he at? There he is. We're glad to have him. He's been under the weather, and we're glad to have you, brother. Glad to have you back. And yeah, we'll continue to pray for you that you get through this, Sister Elsie. Keep praying for the Sister Elsie's family. It's particularly your children and grandchildren, right? Some over here said something. Oh, Sister Wilkins, Sister Rice, y'all both here today. He was. We're glad you're here anyway. I know you. The Durhams are back in town. I don't know if they was in a really big hurry to get back to see me, but they was a bit back hurry, in a hurry to get back to see somebody. A couple of people, I know. And I'm glad they're back from their trip. Be back. It'll be here for a while. Tally's working today. Pray for her. It's that time of year in retail. Sister Thompson's sick today. Okay. Sister Abraham. Okay. Her Sister Abraham's family, and she's got a daughter looking for a job. Lisa? Your friend's grandma, she got out of the hospital. Continue to pray for her. Okay. Sister Julie. Okay. Got a piece of land they're wanting to sell, and the Lord's will in it, get it sold. Pray for my home that the sale goes through. It's kind of had a little bumps up and downs, but it's kind of par for the course and selling property, and everybody's got houses for sale. But Mark, did yours go through completely yet? We kind of had a sign extension deal on ours too. Yeah, Sister Elder's coming in. She'll be with us through next weekend and be with us in services. And so we'll be glad to have her and give her a safe trip. Okay. The ushers will come forth. We'll receive the tithes and offerings. Stand and take these knees before you, Lord. Dear Lord, we give you thanks, Father, for all you've done for us, for this wonderful opportunity to serve you, Lord, and for your sweet salvation. Lord, we give you thanks for the ministry here, for the body of Christ, for your word that you preserve, Lord, and given to us. Lord, we have so many needs today, Lord. We have all the ones that are names that are brought that were sick, Lord, at home with the flu and different illnesses, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to touch their bodies, Lord. Touch Brother Johnson as he travels out to be with his wife in Seattle, and the doctors are treating her. Keep your hand on him, oh God. Oh, Lord, different ones' families, Lord, that need your salvation. Lord, keep dealing with their hearts, oh God. Dear Lord, ones that are looking for jobs, oh God. Ones that are out with the flu. Dear Lord, ones that have property to sell, Lord. Help and make all things work together with your good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Touch each heart today as they're open to receive something from you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Praise the Lord. Well, appreciate that song. And I'm thankful for this particular time of year. I was just thinking about how the Lord has worked with this body of people and with the burden of restoring the church, seeing a church restored and the Word of God to come to us in such a way that it would completely transform our lives and fulfill God's purpose. You know, Jesus was called to be rule over the house of David forever, the Bible says. His kingdom, and his kingdom there would be no end. So this is never going to end, and Jesus is the everlasting reigning king over his kingdom. And even though I know the world has somewhat made a mess out of Christmas, and I use that term, maybe I should have just said the birth of Christ, but God took this body of people through a period of understanding all of the things that were missed about the birth of Christ and how it's been mishandled. And I'm sure every one of us would agree that it's been commercialized to the point that it's lost its meaning to most people. And I feel like God took this body through a phase where he really emphasized the falsehood that's been projected. Because I think he wanted us to get it. I think he wanted us to understand it. But the Lord is marvelous in his ways and how he continues to work on bringing about the balance to help us fulfill his purpose. God he's a Savior, and the Bible says Saviors shall rise up on thee, Mount Zion. Come up on Mount Zion. That Mount Zion's the church. It's the body of Christ. And God wants us to be able to present this message in such a way that it's his saving grace is effective throughout the whole world that we're now living in. There's a big job ahead for the church. And even though we may not have the date exactly right, I'm thankful that we're living in a country that still recognizes the birth of Jesus Christ, aren't you? I'd hate for them to stop that. In fact, it's probably the highest regarded holiday in the world. And I'm thankful for that, because it's a time that I think we should use to benefit and edify the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, he understood that the feast days were over in the new covenant. Once the new covenant came, he understood that. But he also understood that his brothers, the Jews, didn't understand that, and that they didn't see that, and that they were still under the illusion that, and didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But he went and took advantage of those feast days, and he used that in a positive way to show them Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He went to those feasts hoping some way a door would be opened, that he would be able to tell somebody about Jesus, be able to convince someone of the Scriptures about Jesus coming to the world. And the greatest thing that has ever happened to this world is the day Jesus was born into it. That's the greatest day that known to mankind since the creation of the world. To me, it's magnificent that God foresaw all of this, and that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. They talked this over before they ever created anything. God created His Son Jesus according to Scripture. He was the first. Put that up for me in Colossians, the first chapter, the second chapter, isn't it? All things were created by Him. He's the beginning of the creation of God. That ought to be somewhere around the... Where is that? Colossians 2 and 15, maybe? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things, verse 16, created that are in heaven, that are in earth, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or power, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus is who this is talking about, should all fullness dwell. So get the picture. God created Jesus. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the firstborn of every creature, it says in the third chapter of Revelations. Yes, sure. Three, 14. Yeah, you can put it up there if you'd like. That shows He's the beginning of the creation of God. Of course, it goes together here. I just said that, and it goes together here with Colossians 2, that He's the beginning of the creation of God. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness of the beginning of the creation of God. So, God, I know the religious world doesn't necessarily understand that. I think there's some people come to that understanding. But many think that Jesus has always existed, but the Scriptures don't bear that out. You can't be a son unless you come into existence from a father. A father produces sons. God wouldn't confuse nature by saying He had a son, but it came some other way than ever son and creation has ever been produced. God wouldn't do that. That's confusion. That doesn't even make sense. But the Scriptures prove that Jesus is, He was created. He's the firstborn of every creature. You can't be a creature unless you were created. So Jesus has not always existed. God has. The Father has always existed, but He created His Son, and then He had His Son create everything else that was created in heaven and in earth. Whether there be principalities or powers, Jesus made it all after He was created, because God wanted Him to have preeminence over everything. That's what the Scripture says. And they discussed the coming of Christ to this earth and becoming a lamb slain, a sacrifice. It doesn't go into detail to show us all of the particulars. You have to pretty well get an understanding of the whole Bible to see God's plan, God's purpose. It's too big a plan for you just to get in one setting. That's why you have to seek God. You have to have a desire to know Him and to make Him the Lord of your life and give Him ample room in your heart and in your mind to reveal His purpose even for you. Every one of us have a purpose in God. I fully believe that. Every one of us are members in particular, and the sky's the limit. How high do you want to go? How far do you want to go in God? I don't think that there's any limit set. I think even in Jesus tried to show that in the scriptures, where he showed that the parable of the talents, you know, the five and three and one talent, he showed how men can take and multiply the talents that what God has given you. And the more you do with what God's given you, the more will be given you. To whom him much is given, much is required. And responsibility comes with blessings from heaven. But let me get back to my point that Jesus, it was important that Jesus came. And I think you can use this time of year. I think the time is over that God has emphasized. See, I'm not one of these guys that goes back and says our forefathers and our ministry was wrong and in error, that God just let us be wrong. I think we could be wrong in some things, but I see where God brought us through certain phases of understanding. And he brought us through a phase to understand. There was a time that we went through, and not everyone embraced it, but God put certain forefathers of this people through phases of understanding. And one phase we went through was Christmas. We examined it. We studied it. We found everything wrong that man's done about it. All of the commercialization, how it came out of false religion. By the way, the word Christmas means Christ's Mass. Came out of the Catholic Church. It wasn't something that was taught in the New Testament. It's something that came about after the church fell away and false religion began to be lifted up over the whole world, and confusion about and understand of the understanding of God's purpose. That was all God even designed that. God knew that the Gentiles represented all the rest of the people that weren't Jews. So for all of the rest of the people of the world to embrace a message, here's what you need to get out of it. They were getting a message of Christ. They might have not have got it understood. They may not have got all the knowledge and understanding of it, but God had them embracing the message of Jesus Christ. And they done all they could do with the knowledge of it until finally God got it to a place he said, now it's time for the Gentiles to take another step, move up higher. And God's been moving us along for 2,000 years. After all, it took 2,000 years to get the Jews to a place to receive Christ. Why shouldn't we think it'd take us that long, us being a larger, greater number of people with a lot more ignorance concerning the things of God in our background? I have to say God's done a great work, and he's cutting it short in righteousness. But I think he wants us to come to a place now of understanding. I mean, I'd like for Christ's birth really have a greater meaning to me than just what the world embraces as Christmas. I want to know the significance of it. I want it to be buried down deep in my heart and lodged there and have an effectiveness that works through me in touching others. And when I think about these scriptures and go back over them, how that and this is a time of year that's good to talk about this. Everybody's mind's on it. I mean, they'll accept it. They'll let you talk about it right now. And so I think we ought to move over into the positive edification of this, not, you know, being a part of the commercialization or the fallacies that have been brought about by it. You know, this is a time the world's getting rich off the ideal of Christmas. But you know, how many of y'all have listened to any Christmas carols this time of year? How many of you have listened to Away in a Manger? The First Noel. My God, I'm telling you something. God put that in somebody's mind to write those beautiful songs. We don't want to cast them aside forever. We just want to have a great understanding of how to use them and how to embrace it properly. And to think that the whole world was waiting. This is part when Paul said in Romans that the whole world waiteth and travaileth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here's the first Son of God, and he came that he might be the first among many brethren. Romans 8:29. We need to realize that the whole world's waiting for God to manifest himself through a people that have really got the Spirit of Christ in their life and embracing the fullness of God. I'd like to have the fullness of God. That's what I'm laboring for. I'm striving for. I know I can't get it without God's permission, but I'm petitioning God. God, let me go with your people. God, let me receive the fullness that I might know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and the fullness of God that was in Christ, that I might receive that. It's available. It's I'll say this to you. If your heart's set on that, God will make it available to you. God wants you to have everything he has. It may take time to get it, but he knows just exactly how to give it to you. He even knew how to bring his son to this world, just a little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger in a barn. He knew how to bring his son, Jesus, to this world without any memory of his preexistence in heaven, so that he might really be a partaker of the flesh, of the body of this flesh, and be a mediator. You see, if he came here a God-man, Jesus was tempted in every point you and I are tempted in. Hebrews 2, read Hebrews 2 through 4 and you'll get it. Through the fourth chapter, those two chapters, or three chapters, 2, 3, and 4. It'll help you see that Jesus took not upon himself the nature of angels, but he became he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. He became a man. And if, you know, he had to go through a process. Now, he did have an advantage. He was God's son. God had a responsibility to him. God knows how to take care of his own children, his own child. And he brought him forth as one out of due season. It wasn't a season for anybody else to receive everything God has, but it was season for Christ. It was God's time for Christ to come to the world and for God and the holy angels to rear him up and direct his life in a way that he would receive everything that God had so he could give it to man, because the season was right upon Israel after his death, burial, and resurrection. And I love to go over some of this when you remember Zacharias was John the Baptist's father. And he was of the lineage of Abijah, which was one of the priests of the 24 different courses of the priesthood of the temple. And his job was to go into the holy place and light keep the candlestick trimmed, keep it lit, keep it going. And if you remember the scriptures, one day he went in there and an angel appeared to him, Gabriel. And he began to tell him. He was an old man. He was getting old. He began to tell him. He said, your prayers have been answered. And he said, your wife is going to have a child. And his name was to be John. And he was going to be a forerunner of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. His wife just happened to be a cousin of Mary, a young woman, a young maiden that was... she was espoused to be married to a man by the name of Joseph, who was of the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David, but so was Mary. He wasn't really the father. And so when you're reading in the book of Matthew, you're picking up the lineage of Joseph, but when you read in the third chapter of Luke, you pick up the lineage of Mary, and you find out Jesus' lineage through his mother really places him blood kin to the tribe of Judah. So the angel tells Joseph these things, and then let's see if we can read a little bit in Luke. Let me read a little bit in the first chapter. I want to get to this... Yes, it's in the first chapter and in the 26th verse. It first explains in the first part of it about what I just told you about Zacharias seeing the angel Gabriel in the holy place, and him talking to him about John. And in the 26th verse, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Must have looked just like a regular man, huh? For her not to be any more afraid, just wondering what's this guy saying to me. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, Thou Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Think about this. Can you imagine this? How many of you actually really believe this really happened? That one day, the God of heaven, 4,000 years after creation, finally sees it's time that Jesus comes to this world. And he finds a little handmaid that's not even married yet. But he's got it all fixed up where she's just fixing to get married. So this baby will have at least a stepfather and a mother to rear it up. And don't you know God, don't you know some steps were taken to prepare this child, to prepare this mother and father, to make sure that they're the right ones to take care of. I just wonder how long it really took them to get to a place. I dare say that it was after Jesus died and resurrected, and after Mary got the Holy Ghost, that she really realized what had happened to her and what had been born through her and what God had really done. I know she was convinced. The Scripture shows us that she was convinced and knew that she had a virgin birth, a miracle, something that happened. And another thing is, who could you tell it to? You know, it's almost like you and I. When we're truly born of God, this miracle that's working in the womb of our souls, the womb of our heart, God is working in our lives in such a way that it's taking a process just like a birth. It's like in John, Brother Talley was reminding me of the 1 John 3 where John said, He that's born of God sinneth not. That almost, I'd hate to say how many of you are born of God after reading that scripture. I know if I asked you before I read it, you'd all raise your hands. But you realize there's in other words, we almost have to say, I'm conceived. I'm in conception. I'm in an embryo state. And I hadn't got to this sinneth not condition yet. But I will tell you this. There's something born in you that cannot sin. There's a Holy Ghost nature. If you're born of God, there's a Holy Ghost nature in you that's sinless. And if God can transform you and wrap you all into that first, that new man, that new creation of God that He's working in you, and then I'll just ask you this question right now, those of you that really understand that, who can you tell it to? Who can you tell? There's a virgin birth taking place inside of me. I've been impregnated with something from heaven. Hallelujah. Well, it's hard to reveal that. It's hard to tell somebody in the world that don't know God and get them to understand that. It has to happen to you. You can't testify of something until it's your testimony. Verse 36 says, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. See, she had never had a child. Her testimony was that God finally visited her in her barren state in her old age. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out. That she wasn't born again. The Holy Ghost hadn't been given that she could be born of God or baptized of the Holy Ghost. But it just means she was, the Holy Ghost came over her and filled her for the purpose of her prophesying. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice..." Now see, she wouldn't have said this except the unction of the Holy Ghost. You know, "the voice of my Lord, the mother of my Lord." This was her cousin. But the Holy Ghost spake out of her. Don't you know that? Don't you know all of this was needed for that family and for Mary and Joseph to help them understand what God was doing and that God would lead them? You might would think, you know, why didn't God keep it quiet? You got to remember, God's preparing something for Jesus. Jesus had a way to walk here on the earth to fulfill God's will. And God had, he had this all set up. I wonder how many of you and I could come to the realization that God's hand is on our life for a specific purpose if we could yield and let him fulfill it. I'm convinced of that, that if we could move into him, there's some people that's going to fulfill God's will down in the end of this world. See, you might believe this about Jesus, but you have to believe why he came. And you have to believe that the fulfillment of his coming was to bring about something that would fulfill God's purpose in individual lives that become sons of God. I'll quote it to you again. "The whole world groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." This whole world is waiting for God's fulfillment in individual lives that bring about the culmination of God's very purpose in creation. And here you and I are receiving the revelation of that, and God's asking us, embrace it. And I think he's saying to us, like he said to Mary, "Blessed art thou among women." This body of people is a woman. It's the church is a type of a woman to receive. And what God's doing, the ministry of this body is no more than a Joseph. It's not our seed. We can't produce the likeness of Christ with our own desires, our own wills, or our own doctrine. That's why we can't organize this. We can't make it man-made. It has to be God doing it. That's why this may be the body of Christ, but we don't have anything to boast in of our own selves. This, any more than Jesus could say, you know, "I of myself came here to do my will, to fulfill God's will." No, he came right on time, just like God planned it to happen, because God is the only one that knows what really needs to happen to bring about his purpose. And listen, his purpose is totally unselfish. It's for you and I. It's for our good. It's for life. It's for righteousness. It's for eternal life with the eradication of sin and the wrong spirit. God's working something in our lives that's magnificent. It's marvelous. It's higher than man can conceive. This baby, Elizabeth, prophesies. verse 43 again. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall be called blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on him that fear him from generation to generation. Remember me reading you that verse, how he visits the sins from generation to generation and blesses, and his grace, mercy, from generation to generation. Those that fear him, God's blessings will just keep following. God, help us to keep fearing the Lord. Help us in the fear of the Lord. That is the reverence. That's why, you young people, that's why we reverence the house of God. That's why we dress up when we come here. It's why we hold this coming together to meet with God in high esteem. We don't relax it. We don't bring it down to casual dress and all of that. But we hold it in a high place. We're talking about the purpose of the Creator, the source of life. We're coming here to meet with Him and sup with Him and blend our spirits with Him and receive His great blessings upon and in our lives. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And He put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. He hath opened His servant Israel, help them, in remembrance of His mercy. As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode.